to the choir. So it is a gift to be simple. It is a gift to be free. But it does not always feel that way. There's the pandemic and the war, and the Timbers lose on penalty shots. Life can be disappointing and hard and complicated. And amidst the chaos, we come to church and we ground ourselves. We tune in to what matters the most, and perhaps we feel restored and simple and free. So it is a gift to drop into the feeling of feeling simple and free. Goodness can feel simple, but the world is complex, often with no easy answers. This is why, from the beginning, Unitarians have valued a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Truth is so complicated that we all need to bring our minds and souls to the task of discernment. Early Unitarians dove into the search for truth and meaning and celebrated that search. And then in the mid-1800s, Unitarian minister Henry Whitney Bellows said that this was not something to celebrate, this state of searching. He described it as unsettled and indefinite. Bellows said that to search for answers and not find them is a strained and suffering condition of the mind. He said that as humans, we need some answers. We need to know that we are on the side of love. We need to know that we are connected to all that is good. Bellows said that searching in the fog is no way for a Unitarian to live. Lost in the fog, we say that searching for truth is more important than finding it. So Bellows begged to differ. He said that finding truth is more valuable than the search. Someone hunting for sport might enjoy the chase, but someone hunting for dinner needs to catch something. So he said, be clear with yourself that there is something to catch, and it is good to catch it. Bellows warned that if we don't offer a filling meal of Unitarian truth, people will find something else and call it truth. They might latch on to tradition, or they might latch on to political ideology, for example. And so what did Bellows offer as a filling Unitarian meal? He said that the Unitarianism that he grew up with, the Unitarianism of William Ellery Channing, was the true Unitarianism. We strive in our search for truth. It can feel good to find truth. And what is comfortable for us can seem like a universal truth. I'll put that another way. The quest for truth is our sacrament, and we value finding truth so that we can act on it to make the world a better place. And sometimes we are mistaken about what is true. I have a joke for you from the Facebook group of the Unitarian Universalist Hysterical Society. I wonder if you know that group on Facebook. Yeah, fabulous. How many UUs does it take to change a light bulb? We choose not to make a statement either in favor of or against the need for a light bulb. However, if on your own journey you have found that light bulbs work for you, that is wonderful. You are invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your personal relationship with your light bulb. Present it next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service, in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions. So on the one hand, that is a very funny joke. But on the other hand, sometimes we figured it out. Sometimes our quest for truth is over. It can take one UU to change a light bulb. Just one. I've seen you do it. So please go ahead and change the light bulb while I get the potluck ready. Then again, maybe we need to have a group discussion about switching over to energy efficient bulbs. Yes. So within Unitarian Universalism, some people are engaged in a free and responsible search for a better light bulb. Some people say they found a better light bulb years ago and wonder why we're still debating about it. And some UUs only recently found out about different types of light bulbs. And some of us UUs think that what we really need to be talking about is the ventilation system. So it's complicated. Many congregations start their Sunday service by saying something like, "Wherever you are on your journey of understanding, you are welcome here." But are we truly welcoming in that way? In our third principle, we support acceptance of one another. But what can and can't we accept? In our free and responsible search for meaning, many of us have found things to believe in, and we don't always agree about what they are. For many of us, this diversity of belief is why we are here. We love theological diversity. But sometimes our beliefs bump into each other. Some of us are here because this is a place where our beliefs will be respected and not bumped into. Many UU congregations are experiencing conflicts because some people have found something more to believe in, while others are still looking or have found something else. So which beliefs do we agree on and which are open for disagreement? Our fourth principle is not our only principle. We don't only believe in the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We also believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We believe in justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. There are seven principles that we agree on. And if you don't agree on them, maybe you're just here for the choir. If you don't agree on them, I'd be glad to talk with you about that. So there are simple seven principles that we agree on. Some of us are satisfied and delighted by those seven principles. And some of us want us to agree on more. There is conflict in the Unitarian Universalist Association, and I think it's because UUA leadership has come to believe in two more things. First of all, UUA leadership has come to believe in leading with love. Love is not a new value. Many congregations have said every week for over a century, love is our doctrine. But putting love at the center makes a difference. For some of us, love is assumed. It's taken for granted. It's always there, but it's in the background. We might put the quest for truth at the center. We ask questions. We offer opinions. We put our own perspective out there first. But when we lead with love, we're more likely to put other people's experience at the center. We're more likely to ask, "How are you? How is this conversation going for you?" So putting love at the center is quite a change. And love also has a shadow side. When you love your neighbor and you want to protect your neighbor from the person across the street, you can become uncharitable towards the person across the street. You can see disagreement as a threat. 2 years ago, the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association passed new guidelines for how ministers treat each other. 14 ministers disapproved of these new guidelines so much that they resigned from the association. And there are other reasons as well that they resigned, but this was a big one. These 14 ministers wrote a letter giving their reasons. 172 ministers signed a response letter saying that those 14 ministers were acting in bad faith. So when I saw that, I seriously considered leaving the Ministers Association myself. We need to be able to disagree. Sorry, I leave my phone on in case the worship leader texts me. So when I saw that, I seriously considered leaving the Ministers Association. We need to be able to distinguish disagreement from acting in bad faith. And then an interesting thing, an interesting turn of events happened. I was invited onto the Right Relationship Team for General Assembly, which is the Unitarian Universalist annual gathering. The Right Relationship Team is there in case someone experiences an ouch. For example, when an Indigenous speaker spoke in their own language, the subtitle said, speaking in a foreign language. So that was an ouch, because too often Indigenous people are treated as foreign when actually they are local. So I wondered if some of the complaints during General Assembly would be too sensitive, but on the whole, they were not. There were real ouches experienced by marginalized people, and I am glad that I was part of the Right Relationship Team so that people felt respected and heard and they could get support and apologies. So this brings me to the second thing that UUA leadership has found. In addition to our seven principles and love, UUA leadership has come to believe in the importance of centering the marginalized. Centering the marginalized goes beyond welcoming the marginalized. Welcoming the marginalized says, welcome, come do things my way. Centering the marginalized says, I care about your feelings and I want to see the world from your perspective. In this church, when we talk about marginalized people, we often talk about transgender and non-binary people. And this is partly because this includes some of us or our children or grandchildren, and partly because this country was formed by people who had to fit into specific gender roles with systemic consequences that are still having effect. And when we talk about marginalized people, we often talk about people marginalized by race, again, because it's both personal and systemic. There are many other ways that people are marginalized in our culture. So I invite you just to take a gentle breath and think what other groups you think of when you think of marginalized groups. What other groups are marginalized? So I'm curious for your answers and invite you to put them in chat. So what are some other marginalized groups that could really use our support? People with disabilities is really showing up. Women, people who aren't married or don't have children, caregivers, older people, low income, farmers, homeless. It's going too quickly for me to keep up. People that disagree with me or us. By religion, income, neurodiversity, military, girls, highly sensitive people, mental health, and learning disabilities, weight, chronic pain. And some of them are repeats. That's why I'm not saying them. Thank you so much. You're welcome to keep putting more in. There is so much work we can be doing, and so much. So many people that deserve love and aren't always feeling the love and aren't always feeling inclusion. Who we support in this church depends a lot on who shows up at meetings and who takes the initiative. So if you'd like the church to be more active in an area that you care about, I invite you to show up at meetings and take the initiative. Social justice is a game of addition, not subtraction. And in my next sermon, I will talk about UU triage. So how do we decide what to do when we can't do everything? In addition to the seven principles, UUA leadership has committed to love and committed to the marginalized. Some of us have also made those commitments, perhaps filing those commitments under the words compassion and equity. And some of us have made other commitments. For example, some of us believe in the importance of a free press and free speech. Some of us have been holding back our thoughts for fear that we might hurt someone, or for fear that we might get criticized for our thoughts. But when we hold back our thoughts, we can't learn and grow, and we can't get past our differences. I'm committed to the marginalized, and I'm committed to free speech. And I'm committed to addressing the ouches that come up when free speech isn't expressed with compassion, curiosity, and humility. As a church, we don't simply believe in a free search, we believe in a free and responsible search. So if you want, for example, to learn about grief, you don't go up to the nearest person who is grieving and pepper them with questions. That would be callous. So fortunately, there are many resources available if you go online and Google grief. We as a church are learning how to couple freedom and learning with responsibility and compassion. Sometimes church is a place to engage in your search for meaning, asking whatever questions come to mind. And sometimes church is a place to be compassionate, centering the feelings of those who are hurting. How these two values dance together is creating a lot of conflict in the Unitarian Universalist Association, and even in this church. Today at 1 p.m. and Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., I am hosting conversations so that we can talk to each other with compassion and listen to each other with compassion. Your perspective is welcome at these meetings. There will be ouches at these meetings because we have different opinions about charged topics. And I'll stay on the line afterwards to tend to ouches. But these meetings are specifically to practice hearing each other with compassion. I believe from talking with you that we are all a lot more nuanced than we always show. We are on an interim journey together. We are processing conflicts from the past, including involving the themes of freedom and marginalization. We are learning how to talk with each other compassionately in the present. And we are preparing for our future by discerning what we believe in and what we want from our next minister. If you are hurting, may our heart be with you. If you are feeling silenced, let's talk. And may we keep learning how to come together with our hearts and minds.